Repeat after me. Father, I will hear your word today for me and no one else. So whenever I'm talking today, I don't want you to think, oh, buddy, this is over there. No, I'm talking about you. Specifically, you. When I was a little boy, I always sat in my papa's church at Johnson Memorial Baptist Church. It was a little cinder block church. And I always sat on the front, if you're looking from the back towards front, front left, right on the front row. And whenever we would sing, I would let it rip. I would sing to the top of my lungs. And usually by the third song, I was being pulled back to my mama. And by the fifth song, me and my brother was being drug out the back door to get a spanking. But I remember in kids' church, vacation Bible school, we're in that kind of season right now. And we're having vacation Bible school every Sunday, all summer long. But we would sing this song, if you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, then your face will surely show it. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. Now everybody do it. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, then your face will surely show it. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. Well, how many of you know that being happy is a big deal? It is a huge deal. And today, the title of my message is A Happy Me. Things are looking up. The study of happiness is growing in the social sciences. It's being studied in universities. It's also being studied by different religions all around the world. And in an attempt to make the world a happier place, the United Nations declared International Happy Day back in 2012. So now there is one day a year that the whole world is happy. Can you believe it? Listen to this. Bhutan is considered the happiest country in the world. What? They're poor. They've been war-stricken. But yet, they're considered the happiest people in the world. Why? That's the big question. What exactly is the formula to being a happy human being? Well, there's something called the Gross National Happiness Index Formula. We can measure happiness now. In America, we think, the majority of Americans think if we want to be happy, we can go out and buy this and buy that and buy this and do this. And we go get this degree and then the next degree, just trying to strive to be happy, fulfilled. We look for it. Well, this little index, the GNH index, it doesn't just take material things into weight whenever they calculate how happy a certain community is. They also weigh in the spiritual well-being of the citizens. Now, I don't know how they do it, but they have a way of measuring a person's spirituality and weighing that into a formula. And the truth is, if you've ever been in a third world country where people have nothing, and you give a group of kids a lollipop, and they take it, lick it, pass it, lick it, pass it, lick it, all the way around the circle, and they keep doing that till the lollipop is gone. They literally have nothing. But yet they're so happy. Why is it? Why is that? Happiness is a fundamental human goal. How many of you like to watch Andy Griffin? Don't you love Andy Griffin? I do too. He was a great actor. On one of the episodes last week I was watching, I was amazed. He said this. I just had to write it down. He says, happiness is the prize of the game. It's what we all strive for. Happiness, that is. That's what old Andy said. Listen to this. Harvard University done a study on happiness. It was the longest and most comprehensive study in U.S. history. It started in 1938 and it ran for 75 years and cost over $20 million. They had two questions that they asked. There are countless ways to live life, but what if there is one way that is better than the others? And the second question is, what if there were certain secrets to ensuring greater happiness, and we could reveal those secrets right here, right now? Well, that was the question they asked, and undoubtedly they couldn't reveal it right here, right now, because it went on for 75 years. They got 268 undergraduates, men, all right? That was their test pool. Put them in a pool, and they literally followed these guys. These guys gave their life to this study. They followed them for 75 years, or until, you know, they passed. And this is what they looked at. These are the factors that they looked at in those men's life. The first thing was their intelligence level, how smart they were. The second thing was, how much alcohol did they drink? Yeah. The third thing was their relationships. And the fourth thing was, how much money did they make and did they have, their income? Well, after following these guys around for 75 years, in 2012, the findings were published and the answer boiled down to a five-word conclusion. And this is the conclusion. Happiness is love. Full stop. Happiness is love. To quote the author who actually wrote the publishing, he said, "That's right, you heard it straight from the horse's mouth. Love is everything. A person can have all the luxuries in the world, but without love, they mean very little." Isn't that something? It took Harvard 75 years and $20 million to come to the conclusion that love is everything, when all along in 1 Corinthians 13:1, it was right there. It said, "Though I speak with tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing." Love is affection, goodwill, benevolence, brotherly love, character traits embodied in the person of Jesus, and now resides in us by the power of the Holy Spirit. God is love. 1 John 4:8, it says, "Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." Jesus says, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you, so you continue in my love." In John 13:35, it says this, "If you want to be a disciple of Jesus and you want to know you're hanging out with a disciple of Jesus," you know, a lot of people say, "Oh, I follow Jesus. Yeah, I'm a Christian." Well, if you really want to know if they are or not, this is right here, the litmus test. John 13:35, it says, "By this, everyone will know that you are my disciple if you love one another." So, if happiness is love and love is God, then the only way you're going to be happy is to have God. Period. It's not going to happen any other way. It's just not. I've talked to a lot of people every week. You know, sometimes I go home, I think I get 10,000 words a day. They're spent by 1 o'clock. I get home, Lori wants to talk. I'm not able. It's not that I don't want to. I just can't. There's nothing left to say. It's like, you know, "How was your day?" You know, that's about it. Can't get it out. I can't get it out. And I've heard so many singles say, "Oh, if I could just get married, I would be so happy." No, you would not. And I've heard married people say, "Oh, if I could just get away from him or her, I would be so happy." No, you would not. Because your happiness cannot be bound up in that. It cannot. Happiness comes from God, knowing God, loving God, being filled with His Holy Spirit, because He puts it in us. And if He's love, then He puts love in our heart. And we love other people, and that makes us happy. Thank you, Lena. Now, this is really going to be a fast service. We're about finished. Y'all got it? What's happiness? What is love? Yeah, you got it. You got it, man. No need to waste a lot of breath. Just say what you got to say, Stephen, and go sit down. Listen to this. If you say, well, I'm not so full of love right now, what's going on, Steve? I believe in Jesus. I've asked Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. I am a Christian, but man, I just don't love. What is wrong with me? Well, there is a problem, and there is an enemy to love, and it will destroy your happiness. You know, haters are not happy. You ever been around them? Haters are not happy. They are miserable people who complain about everything. We'll get to that in a minute. But Matthew 24:12 gives us the enemy of love. It says, sin is rampant everywhere. And because of that, the love of many will grow cold. The love will grow cold because sin. We're exposed to it all the time. It's everywhere. Turn on the TV, it's there. Right down the street, it's there. Go to Bike Week with me next year and you'll see it there. It's terrible. And because of it, we get so exposed to it that the love of God inside of us, if we don't nurture it, will grow cold. And when something gets cold, it slows down. And if it gets so cold, it freezes to death. That's enough on that page. It says this, before the foundations of the world, God loved. My goodness. You know, He knew me before I was born. He knew what I was going to be, how I was going to be. And do you know He still loved me? He still loved me. In Ephesians 4, it says, even before He made the world, God loved us. That means He loved you too. And He chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in His eyes. Now, I got a lot of fault. But yet, before the foundations of the world, He looked at me and found me faultless. That's amazing. It amazes me that He knows me and He still loves me. It just blows my mind. I believe prophetically for us this morning, a lot of us, it's time to start a new chapter of living. Today, right now, it's time to start a new chapter of living. You know, it's time to turn the page. The thought of salvation is great. A lot of people get it. But I hear this. How can God really love me? Well, it's not about how He can, because He already does. He already did. He did before you even came up with that question. You know, we need to start designing our future bright and not by where our life has been. Turn the page and try again. Turn the page. Start a new story. Let me tell you a story here. If you don't get anything out of anything I say today, you get this. You take this home and then you think about it. If you don't hear anything else, remember this. Me and Grayson, about 4 weeks ago, he has these two little cows at the house and he ups and decides, I'm going to sell one of these cows. And I said, all right, we'll do it. So we go out there and we load up this Longhorn. They're Texas Longhorns. We load it up and we take it over to the auction. When we get there, we drive around back, and Grayson, man, he goes, holy mercy, look at this, Dad. He said, everything over here is brand new. He said, they have put in new fencing. He said, look here, whenever you go to unload your animal, you just take it under this shed. They can't escape. They shut a gate behind you. He said, no wonder things bring so much money over here. This is wonderful. He said, they have done this whole place up. He said, I bet they sunk $250,000 in this fencing. And I said, well, you are true. And I said, but Grayson, me and you have been over here a dozen times in the past year. Well, he tells me I'm full of you know what. Because, see, Grayson's memory is only 7 days long. It's only 7 days long. From the accident he was involved in. Anything in his short-term memory is 7 days long. So today we're going to go down the river. Next week, barring a miracle, he's not going to remember today. All right? Now that has bothered me up until he told me about the auction barn. Because he's seen it and he says, oh, Daddy, this is brand new. This is wonderful. It was a new experience to him, even though we had been there multiple times. I was riding down to work, because that was early. That was like 7 o'clock. So at 7:30, I'm riding to the office. And I'm praying. I'm thanking God for my day. And then all of a sudden, it hit me like a ton of bricks. Literally. It about knocked the breath out of me. I thought I was going to have to pull over on the side of the road, because Psalms 103:12 says, He has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. John said Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Romans 6:23 says, The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus. He said, Steve, get on with living. You have the gift of life in you. And this was what about knocked my breath out of me. I didn't know whether to repent or what to say, but I said, you know what? God has memory issues. I mean significant memory issues. There's a show, and I can't remember what it is, it's a movie, but this guy's named like 5 Second Tom. And every time you turn around, I mean, he just, Hi, I'm Tom. Hi, I'm Tom. Hey, how are you? I'm Tom. Well, you know what? It hit me that day just like that was a new experience for Grayson to drive behind that barn and see all that stuff. Because the blood of Jesus has been applied to my life, every time he sees me, it's a new experience for him. He says, Dad, whoo, he's looking good. But I'm living like a dog. I'm struggling. I've got issues. But he looks at me and he says, Man, look at Steve. He looks so good. Look at Karen. She looks so good. Look at Sandra. She looks so good. And then he'll turn around. He looks back and says, Whoop, look at there. There's Karen. She is a new creation. Look at Sandra. She is a new creation. Look at Steve. He is a new creation. Because my blood has been applied to his life. And you know what he sees when he sees me? He sees Jesus. Amen. Because, see, I'm tucked. Believe me, I'm tucked in. He sees me. Lena, he sees Jesus when he looks at you. That's a new creation right there. I'm a new creation. So quit beating yourself up over what you can do and what you can't do. And get on with living. Stay tucked in, because you got to realize, when Jesus is looking at you, when God is looking at you, he's seeing the blood of Jesus. It's a new experience for him. He says, My mercies are new every morning. And it was wonderful to me. I came in shouting. I said, Pastor Carl, you got to hear this. This is good stuff, because you know what's going to happen tomorrow? He's going to look at me and go, Oh, there's Steve. Dang if he don't look good today. I love that boy. And I'm sitting here going, Man, I got this problem. Oh, he's all new. He's new. It's a new experience. It's a new experience. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Now, I'm covered in Jesus, but sometimes my happy tank just runs a little low. Because my love tank runs a little low, and I do some things to help. I do some things to pick myself back up. I don't like being in the mully grubs. I lived that way for long enough. And so I like being happy. I like being on top of the mountain. And even if I'm in the bottom of the mountain, I still want to feel like I'm up there. You know what I'm saying? You with me? All right. So when my happy tank is low and I need to fill it up with some love, I go to where the love is. Open my Bible. And then I listen to the word. I read it out loud because it builds my faith. It builds my faith. And as our faith is built, that love starts coming up in me, and I'm a whole lot happier. I'm a whole lot happier. Paul and Silas. You know the story of Paul and Silas whenever they went in and they've been ministering. This girl was following them around and she was going, Oh, these are the men of the Most High God. Praise Jesus. They're wonderful. These are the men of the Most High God. Well, Paul got sick of that and he turned around and he cast the devil out of this girl. Well, her owners or her boss people, she was a fortune teller, and her boss people got really upset. Long story short, Paul and Silas wound up getting the poo beat out of them in the middle of the street. And then they were chunked into the inner cell, not just hours of, they were put inside the middle of the jail, and then they were bound with chains on top of that. Now, if I had been in their position, number one, I'm going to be complaining up a storm. They didn't lock me up in here. I ain't done nothing wrong. But at 12 o'clock at night, they were found to be singing their praises to the God, to God. And so they sing. And you know the story. As they sang, their chains broke, the doors flew open, and all of a sudden, the jailer comes in, and it was a big deal for him to keep a good eye on them, because if they had escaped, that was his life, right? So he said, it's better for me to kill myself than for me to let them kill me. So he's going to commit suicide, and they stop him. Hey, man, we've not gone anywhere, right? And the whole thing is, that guy's whole family got saved. That's a wonderful story. And it was all over a song that they sang in the middle of jail. So whenever I get tired and I get wore out and my love tank starts running down, I like to sing a little song. Lawrence said, I've never heard you play the piano. And I said, well, you're not going to hear much today. Let me see if that's right. Okay. But I do. La la la, la 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 la, life is wonderful. La 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 la, life goes full circle. La 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 la, life is wonderful. La 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 la. And I'll sing it. You can come over to my house on the farm, and I'll be having a bad day, and I will sit down, and I'll just start singing. La 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 la, life is wonderful. La 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 la, life goes full circle. La 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 la, life is wonderful. La 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 la, life. You know, you can get a song in your heart and you can sing it, and I'm telling you, it will lift you up. It will lift you up, and it will start putting love in your heart when you start singing to God. Now, moving right along, three more things. Whenever you get to feeling lonely, make a new friend. You say, I don't know how to do that. Well, we're only in this building 2 or 3 hours a week, so it's probably not going to be here. I'm sorry. You can get to know people in here and then go do stuff outside of church. But get on a meetup line. If you got an interest, go online and meet somebody. Meet some friends. Lori and I do that kind of stuff. We've learned how to line dance. We've learned how to shag. We've learned how to kayak. What got us into kayaking. We've learned how to do all kinds of stuff and met a lot of friends, and a lot of them don't know Jesus, so we get to become salt and light. Now, the next thing is that makes me happy is just hanging out with my family on the farm. Doesn't take much more than that. It is loud. It is loud. It is extremely loud. But it's fun. Everybody's talking over everybody, and I just love my family. It makes me feel better. And this is a really big kicker. Stop complaining. I find that whenever my love tank is running low, I have been complaining. God wants to hear our gratitude and not our attitude. Stop giving him your attitude and start being thankful for what you have. I'm telling you, it'll lift you up, because positive confession creates a greater confidence in God. You start thanking God for what you have, your focus shifts to what He's doing for you and in your life, and it builds your confidence. And as your confidence increases, the peace of God increases in your life. That's what I do when my love tank is running low. Just those little simple things. And laugh. Listen, life is short. It's not long here. Think about your future, your eternal future. That will lift you up. That will fill you up. I think it was Justin who done a lesson with the youth group. And he took this rope, and it was a huge long rope. And he laid the rope out. And at the end of the rope, he took a piece of tape and he wrapped it around the end of the rope. And it was only like this much showing between the tape and the end of the rope. And then you had all this out here. He said, this right here is life. on earth. That over there is eternity. Don't get so bound up with what's going on here. You know? Because it's, whoop, we've got all that. Isn't that great? So put your mind on those kind of things. All right? Hey, that's it. Stand up. That's it. I want you to be happy. We should be happy. We have a lot to be happy for. There you go. We have been blessed beyond measure. I've seen more miracles in Abundant Life Church in the past year than I've seen in my entire life. I was there with Inga when they said, Inga, honey, you got stage 4 cancer. You have tumors that big inside of you. But also, she sure don't. Don't steal my thunder, girl. You know, I was there. And I read the papers that said 100% cancer free. 100%. I read them. She brought them to me 2 weeks ago, I think it was. Jay, look at this, Steve. What's that say? I said, yep. That's clean bill of health. You know, we have so much to be grateful for. Amen? Father, thank you for Abundant Life Church. Thank you for the joy of the Lord and the peace of the Lord that rests in our heart. Lord, bless us as we go out and share your love. Fill us, Father, with your precious Holy Spirit, your love, and your power. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, we'll see you next Sunday. Happiness is you.